Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks. the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be as when a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The gospel reading we just heard, as many of you probably already know, is known as the parable of the talents. That word, talent, can be confusing to the American ear, because talent has a different meaning for us. Its original meaning in the New Testament Greek referred to a measure of weight. And one newer Bible translation translates it as bags of gold rather than talents. That's a pretty telling translation. Since a talent was equal to what the average laborer could earn in about 15 years. 15 years. So in giving each of these servants 1 or more talents, the master is entrusting them each with a small fortune. And if you do the math, the servant who was entrusted with 5 talents, that's 75 years wages for a laborer, probably a couple of lifetimes in this period. The real thrust of the parable, however, is not, I think, found in the enormous amounts of cash that's entrusted to each servant, but the common theme of this parable and both of the preceding parables. These parables are a large part of what scholars call the judgment discourse, where Jesus talks about what will happen at the end of time. At the end of chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel, the chapter just preceding the one we're reading now, Jesus tells the tale of the faithful and unfaithful slaves. The faithful slave, when put in charge of his master's household, is found at work when the master returns. And Jesus says, "Blessed is that slave." The unfaithful slave, however, discovering that the master is delayed, begins to beat his fellow slaves and to eat and drink with drunkards. That slave is cut into pieces and put with the hypocrites, where there will be, in Matthew's familiar words, weeping and gnashing of teeth. The next parable is the parable of the wise and the unwise bridesmaids. It's the one Dean Kate told us about last week. You may remember the unwise bridesmaids go out without any extra oil for their lamps, and forced to go to the dealer to buy more, they miss the coming of the bridegroom and are locked out of the feast. Then in today's parable, the master entrusts his slaves with large sums of money. Then, after a long time, the master returns to settle accounts. Each of these parables has the same central idea of delay. Both of the masters, that of the faithful and unfaithful slaves, and of the slaves given the talents, and the bridegroom, are delayed for a long period of time. Matthew's gospel was written probably more than a generation after the letters of Paul. Paul wrote in firm belief that Jesus was returning any minute, which is why he discouraged things like marriage and constantly exhorted his readers to keep awake and be sober, because the day of the Lord would come like a thief in the night, or like labor pains on a pregnant woman. Matthew's community was probably reading these letters of Paul and wondering why Jesus was taking so long. Where was this Messiah who was to come in the lifetime of the apostles, but had failed so far to show back up 50 or 60 years later? And so Matthew tells these parables about proper behavior for Christians during this long, long delay. When I was a teenager, I was, as we called it in the 80s and the 90s, I was a latchkey kid. Both of my parents worked, so when I came home from school, I would let myself into the house on a key that I wore on a chain around my neck. Most days, my mother would leave me a list of tasks to be done once I had completed my homework. Many of you may relate to this through your own experience as either a teen or the parent of a teen. More times than I care to admit, that list of chores and my homework would be undone when my parents walked through the door after work. I would distract myself with television or video games. I'll just watch this one television show, or I'll just play for a few minutes. And before I knew it, what seemed like plenty of time to get everything done had simply evaporated. I failed to use the time I was given wisely. Matthew wants to make sure that his community, and by extension our Christian communities, are aware that we are expected to work for the kingdom of God during this time of waiting for Christ's return, that we use our time wisely. The faithful servant in the first parable is faithful in overseeing his master's household, we are told, because he gives the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time. He cares for his fellows in the extended absence of his master. Notice that the slave doesn't have to figure out a way to buy the food for his fellow slaves. The provision is already made by the master. Today's parable takes that expectation a step further. By his reaction to the slave that simply buried the talent given to him, the master clearly expected more than the protection of what he had given. He expected that what he gave them would grow. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us how the first two slaves managed to invest their master's money so successfully, because the how is not the point of the story. The real driving force of the parable is the contrast between the first two slaves who were willing to take a risk and the third slave's fear. We all know there's nothing in life worth having that we don't have to take a risk to get. I think of the countless YouTube videos that can be found, and I've seen plenty of them, of a guy proposing on the jumbotron of some football game or basketball game or baseball game. I can't help but think to myself when I see these, man, that is one brave guy. If she says yes, it'll be one of the most romantic gestures of their lives in live video and 10 times natural size. But if she says no, nationwide humiliation, 10 times life-sized. But that guy knows that having the chance to spend the rest of his life with the person he loves, it's just worth the risk. You see, in building up the kingdom of God and in growing in your own spiritual life, there's no responsible use of the gifts of God that does not involve risk. I'll say that again. There is no responsible use of the gifts of God that does not involve risk. We know that human growth is impossible unless the boundaries we set ourselves are crossed and we're made vulnerable to rejection, failure, and loss. I'll never learn to speak French until I'm willing to be laughed at by people who speak French fluently. You'll never learn to ride a bike without training wheels unless you're willing to accept the very real possibility that you will fall and get hurt. Friendship is impossible to build without taking the chance of being snubbed by someone whose goodwill and esteem are desperately longed for. And as in the first example, we know lifelong love will always remain a dream if you're not willing to take the chance that she or he might say no. Very soon, we'll enter the season of Advent, the church's season of waiting and watching. We wait and watch both for the coming of the Christ child at Christmas and also the glorious coming of Christ at the end of time. So how appropriate is it for us to hear these parables of delay and waiting as we move to enter this season? I want to challenge each and every one of you to take time, starting today and all through the Advent season, to look around you at all the graces that God has given you. Look at your material blessings and at your spiritual blessings. Give thanks to God for all of those blessings, and then ask yourself, am I using all that God has given me to help build up the kingdom of God? If the answer is no, then spend some time in prayer. Ask God what it is he wants you to give. Maybe it's he wants you to give more financially to charities that matter to you. Maybe he wants you to take a risk to lower your income so you can spend more time giving of yourself in places you've always dreamed of. Maybe it's a risk of not getting all those things done on your to-do list so you can spend a little more time in prayer. Are you willing to take risks in building up the kingdom? Theologian Paul Tillich said it this way: he who risks and fails can be forgiven. He who never risks and never fails is a failure in his whole being. What risks will you take? for God.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, you created the heavens and the earth. Thank you for the gift of our lives, for our loved ones, for this community, and for this beautiful earth that we call home. I invite you to speak aloud your thanksgivings.
For my family, for this community. Beautiful day.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless and comfort those who are sick, lonely, or grieving. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those who need our prayers.
Cynthia, Jackie, James, Gus, Catherine, Brian.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of those who have died. I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially Bill Gardner, Nathaniel Davis, and Bayard Shields Ferber.
Don, Carol, June, and Jonathan.
Mickey, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the church throughout the world, especially John, Charles, and Dorsey, our bishops, Catherine, our presiding bishop, Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, and for the ministries of this cathedral. Help us to grow in our love for you and for others here in the urban core. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help the nations of the earth to treat one another with kindness and justice. We pray especially for Ukraine, Nigeria, China, North Korea, and all the countries of the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Almighty God, you have given us such great wealth and resources, so many gifts in this life. Help us to have the courage to risk using everything to your glory and for the building up of your kingdom. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. So glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up high so they can find you. We're so glad that you're with us today. Welcome, welcome. We have a new art installation in Tolliver Hall, which is called Grace. It is created by a local artist, and he will be available after the service in Tolliver Hall to answer any questions that you may have. It is right above the stage, behind the stage, in front of our shield, and it looks like a great big waterfall. It's very beautiful, and if you look closely, it's made up of tiny coffee cups. So, take a look. Thank you to all of you who pledged. We have completed our pledge drive, and so grateful to all of you who have pledged. If you haven't yet pledged, now is the time. We need you to do your part. There are pledge cards in your pews, so you could fill one out and just stick it in the plate as it comes by today. But again, we're grateful to all of you who have pledged already. With the coming of Advent, there are a lot of things coming up that are exciting. With Thanksgiving, this very Thursday, we are going to have, we are going to host an interfaith Thanksgiving service that has been going on for over 90 years in Jacksonville. So we're going to have clerics from many religions will be here. Native Americans in their headdresses are going to dance. We have four rabbis coming, a Buddhist, a Hindu, the Orthodox priest and the Roman Catholic bishop, and others too. I can't remember them all, but the local imam, lots of folks. So everyone will be saying a prayer in their own tradition. So we're just gathering to thank God together, which is a very, very good thing. So that is at 6 o'clock on Thursday. Love to see you there. Next Sunday, we have a very special guest, Dr. Mary Neal, who is the author of a national best-selling book, To Heaven and Back. She is a doctor who was in a boating accident and died and then returned. She will be telling her story at 10 o'clock and again after this service at 12:15 or 12:30, whenever we get out. So come to hear her. That evening, St. Andrew's Day evening song is that evening, as well as there is an Altrea for those of you who've done Curcio that evening. On Thanksgiving Day, we'll have a service as we always do, followed by a potluck meal, and there's more about that in your bulletin. And then the first Sunday of Advent is full of wonderful offerings, which are also in your bulletin. Now, this Carl is doing great, isn't he? Getting so well. So thank you, Carl. Carl is going to be ordained a priest on December the 7th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm hoping a lot of you will come to support him. He started this journey 14 years ago? 13 years ago he started the ordination process. So this is the journey of his lifetime, and it will be a joy to come and celebrate his ministry with us. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are a gracious and generous God. You bestow on your people abundant blessings, and you call us to share with one another, so that all may live and prosper and know the fullness of your grace. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.